Hello and welcome to Bidfood's Talking Food podcast. I'm Joe Anglis and this is our podcast series where we talk about everything to do with food service, including advice and tips from experts in our business, customers and key people in the industry. The topic for this episode is on reopening your kitchen after lockdown. With many sites being closed for quite some time now, there's lots of confusion around making sure you do all you can to reopen safely and with the right offering. To discuss best practice on this, I'm joined by Pamela McLean, who is a food development manager as part of our chef development team and is the star of our Fast Flexible Flavour Back to Basics recipe videos, as you may have seen on our social media. We'll start off by discussing top tips for reopening, then move on to suggestions for what you can do for your menu and service. Due to the fact that things in the current climate are changing all the time, we'll then go on to talk about Pam's future predictions. So, let's get it started. First of all, I'd like to welcome Pam to the podcast. Hi, Pam.
Hiya, Joe. Thanks for inviting me on your podcast today.
So could you introduce us to what your role is with Bidfood?
Sure. I'm the food development manager working within the food development team of chefs. I've been with the company now for 18 years. And I do anything from sort of talking to clients, looking at their menus, helping to select products to them, to recipe and menu development for customers and for products within our range.
That's great. So obviously we're all working remotely at the moment. So where are you joining us from today?
I'm actually sitting in my study at home. Well, I say study, come office, come dumping ground, really, in Staffordshire.
Lovely. So how have you found things in the lockdown? How have you spent your time?
It's been really interesting, actually. It's been really busy with work. It's been really varied, working with lots of areas that perhaps I haven't worked with before. So it's been quite interesting and eye-opening. I certainly learnt a great deal along the way. I mean, doing podcasts, for example, and videos really quickly, something that I haven't done before.
That's great. So you talked a little bit about there about doing different things. So what have you been doing to support customers at this time?
Customers have been asking for a variety of things, mostly wanting me to have a crystal ball, which has been quite interesting, because we're all in the same position that we don't really know what's going to happen. But I think The best guesses that everyone's coming up with is looking at simplified solutions. So it seems to be looking at what's going on in menus at the moment and taking your best products and really using that as a focus. Also looking at wrapped products. So the hygiene level has been really, really important. And disposables as well and use of those because it's a little bit different to how it was pre-COVID.
Since lockdown, what dishes would you say have been top of mind for customers? Is it about comfort or is it, like you said, about simplifying?
Yeah, I think it's about simplifying, really. Definitely comfort in the fact of having the comfort of knowing that they're going to be able to offer their customers what they want. I think customers have missed the fact that they can go out and have something really fantastic and tasty to eat that they can't replicate at home.
Yeah.
So there's definitely the want to make sure that their hero products are center stage on the menus.
That's great. What about for yourself? Have you been doing anything differently in the kitchen since lockdown?
Lots of videos, which has been interesting. For myself, really, I mean, I've just been looking at cake, lots of cake, because
nice.
I really love cake and I've had the chance to make it, which I very rarely do. So probably too much cake. And also taking the opportunity to fill the freezer, really, with a few meals and things ready for when this is all over and we're back to working long hours again and needing something quick in the evenings.
That's great. Thank you, Pam. Our first topic that we're going to go over today is on reopening your kitchen. Welcome back. Pam and I are now going to discuss reopening kitchens. For many, it's been several months since they last opened. Since then, a lot of things have obviously changed and there is a lot of confusion around best practice. First of all, Pam, If you were to have a checklist of all the essential things needed to do when reopening the kitchen, what would you have on there?
I think I'd break it down into three areas, actually. I think I'd need to check, identify, and change. So checking everything in your kitchen, not assuming that everything's working for a start, check that it all works. Obviously, check that it's clean. Everything's going to need cleaning and probably deep cleaning. Really important as well, looking for pests. Yeah. Because the pest traps have been there, but whilst you've not been there, they've probably found some new homes that they wouldn't normally go into. So that's really important to look for as well. And then looking at your training as well and how you're going to bring your staff back, because this is new for everyone. And I think it's so important to get right that it's really vital that staff training happens and there's not an assumption that people will know what they're doing. So I think it's identifying perhaps a new risk assessment. So looking at how people can socially distance within the kitchen, placing posters up in the kitchen. So how you wash your hands and when you wash your hands, which is really important, because I think now the guidelines are saying that you should wash your hands with soap and water every 20 minutes, which chefs probably do anyway between tasks, but it's important that that's recorded now that that's happening. And also just things like uniforms. I think staff know to change into a uniform when they come into the business. So when they're starting work, they come in their own clothes and they get changed. But very often, especially front of house staff, can go home in uniforms. I think it's really important to make sure that they also change out of their uniform, just to give customers confidence, because customers don't necessarily know that someone's going home. So if they see somebody on a bus in a uniform, they might think they're going to work, which isn't really good for that brand. So it's important that that happens. Within the risk assessments as well, it's looking at how you socially distance. So marking your stations in your kitchen, perhaps marking areas where chefs shouldn't be working, and where possible, getting people to work diagonally rather than opposite each other, which will give a little bit more space. And identifying those bottlenecks as well. So your fridge, your sink, your stove may be a bottleneck, and working out how to work around that.
That's great. I guess it's all about building that trust back up from basically going back to the start, really, with it all, isn't it, for customers?
Yeah, it is. It is just making that change and doing the changes to give the customer confidence that you're actually taking social distancing really seriously and that they can see you doing that.
What do you recommend doing to minimise risk?
I think it's taking everything out that doesn't need to be there. So if you look at removing anything unnecessary from the kitchen, so anything that's on there, so old menus, papers, laptops, phones, anything that shouldn't be in there, basically anything that can be touched, which you don't need, should be removed. So if you do use a spec book, it's probably a good idea to laminate and put them onto walls, so you've got all your specs on there so you don't have to keep touching them. I think also with minimising risk, you might want to look at less deliveries per week, maybe talk to your suppliers, maybe get a consolidated delivery, because then you've got less touch point and less people and less contact and less handling. So that could also help as well with your minimising of your risk. And as I said before, your risk assessment is so important because that will highlight any areas of risk which will help you to minimise them.
What about with giving customers confidence that everything is safe in the kitchen?
Yeah, it's really important to give customers confidence. Front of house and back of house. Back of house, they'll be able to see that the chefs are working in a clean environment and that they're socially distancing, which is really important. Any PPE that needs to be used sensibly should be used. I don't think anyone should be donned head to toe in PPE, but it would be sensible to have gloves on and masks on in areas where you're moving rubbish, for instance. It's just protecting the customer and protecting the environment. Front of house, as far as the customer is concerned, they would need to see the social distancing is in place. They need to see that people are washing their hands, and they would also want things to be uncluttered. So again, removing anything on the table that doesn't need to be there. So the lovely little vase of flowers might be beautiful, but actually you might want to remove it for now because it just keeps everything clean and easy to clear.
Brilliant. Thank you, Pam. Now we'll move on to developing your menu and service style. Obviously, everyone will be planning their menus now with how they can still meet customers' needs while simplifying where possible. But what tips do you have for getting things right, Pam?
The main thing is to understand what the customer wants, and that is your core value and your offer. The customer wants that. That's why they're with you and they've chosen you rather than somebody else. So it's really important to have that core offer of your menu still there, even if it is simplified. And to do that, obviously, you'll be keeping an eye on high GP lines and bestsellers, because you will want those as your heroes, and then you'll build your menu around that. It's really important while you're doing that to make sure that you can actually still service that menu. So you may have less staff in the kitchen, you may have less staff front of house, and you may actually have less ingredients to use because you want to try and keep your costs down as much as possible. So again, it's looking to see if you've got the right people in the right places to be able to service that menu. There's no point in giving a massive menu if then you've only got two chefs in the kitchen when you'd normally have five or six. Also looking at how you can service that menu as far as keeping it fresh and keeping it right for the customer. The customer is obviously there because they want to be there, and there's going to be this euphoria of being able to go out, and to start with, everyone's going to just want to go out and eat. But I truly believe that it's going to be quite quickly that people are going to then start to want to have some innovation in there as well. So it's being able to see how your simplified menu is and then being able to adapt it as you go along. But I think in the first instance is getting that core offer, that simplified offer right. You may also find that you've got things like you can't have your kitchen porter in or somebody to do your prep that you'd normally have in. So you need to take that into account as well, because you might need your chef to maybe do some washing up, or you might want to have a look at a menu where you don't use so many sauté pans, for instance, because normally during the night someone's washing them up, but then they're not washing them up during the night. So you don't want to be left with a sink full at the end of the night. So there's all different things that you have to think about of how you actually service that menu. And also being creative with the ingredients that you've got, looking to see if you can use those ingredients in other ways. So looking to see if you can make them into, say, a side dish, or put a slightly different slant on a starter, so you're using the same ingredients. So I mean, looking at simplified, I mean, we have lots of simple solutions that we can help you with that will support you. Even though you haven't got your full resource, we can help you where you don't compromise your quality with solutions. So it's using fewer ingredients, saving your costs and supporting you.
What about for flexing how you use fewer ingredients?
Yeah, I think it's being inventive. Just because you've got a reduced menu doesn't mean that the chefs can't use their flair, and I think it's really important that they do. So it's using those fewer ingredients, as I said before, and just working out how you can actually make the most of them. So it's being flexible with all of your flavours, and it's just being able to look at food trends and innovation that's still going on, will always go on, and seeing how you can do that into your menu as well. We actually have a fast, flexible flavour campaign, which we can help you to do that, where we take some base ingredients and put some recipes together for you, just to give you a bit of ideas and inspiration. And as I said, food trends and innovation has not gone away. And then once that initial love of being out has gone, then consumers will definitely seek innovation again.
We've discussed this in previous episodes in this series, but what are your thoughts around how to package food correctly?
Well, packaging is really important now. It's important that it looks good, and that it's safe, and that it's tamper-proof. And it's a great opportunity to get your branding out there as well. Deliveries obviously are going to be big. They already are. It's worth about £8.4 billion at the moment, and I think it's about £10 billion the forecast for the rest of this year. So it's really important that you get that packaging right. There's some use now of plastics that's come back in, which is quite interesting, because hygiene is always going to be number one priority. But again, I think as we settle into this, I think very quickly the sustainability element of it is going to come back. And we're going to have to look at ways to keep that hygiene and to keep that packaging, but again, to keep thinking about the environment, which is really important. So when you're looking at your packaging, start thinking about how you're going to recycle that as well, because that message is going to have to be really clear to your customers, because the consumers who care about the planet, which obviously is everyone, but mostly your 18 to 34 year olds, they're going to be asking the questions of why you're using plastic again. So it's important that maybe you have that answer of how you're going to recycle that, what your plans are for the future to actually bring it back to sustainability.
That's great. So how do you see social distancing? Is it a barrier?
It can be a barrier, but it doesn't need to be a barrier. Personally, I think it's a great opportunity to ask your customers to look at you slightly differently. So if you have less dwell time, for instance, because of social distancing, people are asking you to have less time actually in the restaurant, there's great opportunity to be able to maybe do take home products. So maybe take a dessert home with you in your branded packaging, or even pre-order. So pre-order online, as you book online, pre-order, put your menus onto line online. So then people can see what they want, and so they know what they want. So it's all a lot quicker. It's quicker for the customer, less sitting around for the customer. Therefore, they have a better experience in that limited time that they have. So yeah, while you might say that having that person-to-person contact is a, or not having that person-to-person contact, sorry, is a barrier, actually it can be a great opportunity to extra sales as well.
And with your menu, how can you reassure people that it's safe?
It's about doing things sensibly, I think. It's about making sure that everything is clean, everything looks clean, everything looks well presented. Be prepared to serve things differently. You may want to go into a system where you're taking your food to a customer under a cloche, for instance. So it shows that as soon as the food has been prepared, it's actually been covered, so nothing can get to it. Or you may want to look at different ways of serving your food, maybe in a disposable container or a lidded container, looking at things like bento boxes or tolly tins. That's another way of serving something where it's actually encased and it's covered, and that might be something worth considering.
Cloche is an absolute throwback, isn't it?
Oh, it certainly is.
Do you have any other tips on making the most of this situation?
Yeah, so there's lots of opportunities to upsell. You can make the most of it of the limited time that people have in your area. So like I said before, pre-ordering online, simple menus, because it's a lot quicker to choose if something is simple. You could recommend wines and beers with your main courses. They could be on your menu. And that's especially useful for any deliveries or takeaways or room service menus. Again, taking away after the meal if there isn't enough time for a dessert, or they would like to take a drink home with them. Or even offering a shop-type product where maybe you have pizzas and things ready-made, and you could ask them if they want to buy a pizza to take home with them, something that they would actually then cook at home. And I know a lot of pubs have done that recently, where they've changed their pubs into a shop because they've not been allowed to open. And that's been quite successful for quite a few pubs, actually. So it's about adapting and just change and adapt and be willing to try anything and to try everything. And if it doesn't work, you haven't lost anything, but actually you might hit on something that's real gold that does work.
That's loads of fantastic insight there. Thank you very much, Pam.
You're very welcome.
So to wrap things up after all we discussed, how would you see things changing in the future?
I think things are only going to get better. It's about being creative and adapting. So if you're creative and you adapt, then you're going to be able to get through this, and you're going to actually going to be benefiting from it as well. So listening to feedback from your customers and giving them any messages that you're doing too. So if you're donating to charity, or if you're looking after the environment in a slightly different way, then give out those messages, because that's all going towards the future and people thinking about you in the future rather than the past. If we look at the delivery market, think I mentioned before, it's worth 8.4 billion now. That's only going to grow and grow. It's estimated to be around 10 billion by the end of this year. 18 to 34 year olds are at the moment quite happy at home to pick up the phone and order something and pay full price because they can't get it anywhere else. But I don't think they're going to do that for long, to be honest. So I think it's looking at that delivery market as well and just seeing what you offer in that delivery and what you're charging for that. But as far as looking wider and looking at Europe, it's a real mixed bag at the moment, but it generally seems to be coming back with around 35 to 40% normal trading in restaurants where they're open. And Asia is showing it's growing even faster, and that's up to about 85%. And apparently the restaurants are absolutely full. But again, they've done some changes. They've got screens in between tables. So I think the future is looking at how we can manage to protect everybody and show that we're doing that. So it's bringing that hygiene, bringing that cleaning right to the front rather than hiding it in the back. And I think if we do that, I think the future is pretty bright.
That's great. There's loads to digest from all we talked about here. Thank you very much for joining me in this episode, Pam. It's been an absolute pleasure to talk all this through with you.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you, of course, to my guest, Pam, but also to you for listening. As well as the other episodes in this series, we have loads of support available for reopening your business. You can find information on our 10-point reopening plan and the topics we talked about in this episode on our website, bidfood.co.uk, or you can find the links in our episode bio. We've been working on loads of campaigns at the moment, all targeted to support food service get back on its feet. Our website holds all of this information, and you can become a customer from there too. As always, please do subscribe, review, and share our series on whatever platform you use to listen to these on. This means more people can listen and learn from our take on the latest in food service. Until next time, stay safe all.